Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing? I mean, nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grief process. You know, with roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, that's about a third of the population. That means that everyone probably knows someone caring for a loved one. They say that there's only three types of people in the world. Those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Join Dave and his guests now and every Wednesday at noon Pacific time as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. So find a comfortable place to relax, kick up your feet, and prepare to feel better and to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to get you through today and every day so you can survive your tomorrows. But not just survive, but to live life fully and abundantly. Yes, you heard me right. That is a possible goal to achieve. And now, here's your host, Dave Nassani. From Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. Yes, folks, I'm the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. Ouch. Now, we have an exciting show planned for you today, so stay tuned. Silver Dawn co-founders Catherine Braxton and radio show host Tammy Newman. Their passion is to turn the tides on the silver tsunami of seniors by creating a Silver Dawn through their unique and interactive training experience. You do not want to miss this interview, so stay tuned. As I said, I'm your host, Dave Nassani, and this show is to caregivers of every kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring, selfless, sacrificial. Okay, that's three. But, oh yeah, they are also very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. I mean, every time you board a plane, they tell you that if there's a loss of cabin pressure, to put your own oxygen mask on first before you help your child with their mask. Because they know that people have blacked out who didn't put their needs above the needs of their loved ones. You won't be of any help to anybody with anything. And guess what? Caregivers are exactly the same way. Now, we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects that it can have on us. It automatically throws us into this other thing called the grief process. Another ouch. Unfortunately, folks, there is only one way out of the grief process, and that is to go through the grief process. You can't go around it, you can't go over it, can't go under it. You got to go through it. And hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like you're stuck. Hey, if this is your first time tuning in, you can learn more about me and my show, my radio podcast, my books, my videos, my blog. I know, it sounds like it's all about me, but it's not. It's actually all about you. So just go to my website, caregiverscaregiver.com. That's caregiverscaregiver.com. And take a short quiz to see if you are a candidate for burnout. And I will send you a free copy of my first book about overcoming hardships. Hey, I just want to take this moment now and thank my last week's guest, Dave Nassani. That's right, I interviewed myself for a change. It was fun, and I learned a lot about myself in the process. All right, enough of that. I'm going to unmute my guests now. Welcome to the show, Catherine and Tammy. Thank you so much for patiently sitting through all that introduction stuff for our first-time listeners. Welcome.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us on the show.
Oh, it's me who has to thank you for allowing me to interview you. I really appreciate it. And without getting into too much of the questions that I prepared for you, why don't you just begin by telling me a little bit about yourselves? Just who are Catherine Braxton and Tammy Newman before you became involved in the senior care industry?
Wow. You know, Dave, this is Tammy. And I think that's a really tough question just because I've been involved in the senior care industry in some way, shape, or form for over 20 years. So,
well,
let me
I,
think.
I ask very tough questions, though. That's
so nowhere to go but up from here, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I myself am a single mom. I have two children, a 19-year-old and a 15-year-old. And I think that pretty much describes who I am.
Wow, taking the short route, huh?
I am.
And
this
is Kathy. A
19-year-old and a 15-year-old. Okay, well, that says a lot. You're probably going crazy.
Yeah, it's a very interesting time. My son was actually, when you talk about caregivers, my son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes 3 years ago, and my life definitely changed at that point in time, being a single parent with a child diagnosed with a chronic condition. I quit the job that I was working, you know, 50, 60, 70 plus hours a week, and figured out how I could do this, you know, make a living without having to be at a job that much and be able to be there for my son and help him through this challenge.
So you were thrust into the caregiving business. You weren't asked. It wasn't on your resume. You just woke up one day and there you were.
That's pretty much exactly how it happened. I did not sign up for this job, but it was given to me nonetheless.
Yes, welcome to our world. And you, Catherine, tell us about who you are.
I'm going to try to do my best. Actually, I started really liking the older population when I was in college, and it was solely to feed my own ego. We were asked in psychology to work with a group of people, and the majority of my cohorts wanted to work with the younger population and adolescents, and I did not want to be one sheep in the herd. I wanted to stick out. So I decided to go to a nursing home and apply as activities and see what that was all about, because I was never really afraid of the older adults, and just absolutely fell in love with that population and have never turned back. But just as Tammy's had an experience, I also was thrust into a caregiving role for my son. We found out he was sick with a diaphragmatic hernia 6 weeks before he was born. He was in the hospital for 3 months before we were ever even able to hold him. I had to also quit my job and stay home and be his nurse and learn how to take care of G-tubes and trachs and ventilators.
Wow.
And feedings and all of those types of things. I learned a lot being in the hospital when you watch staff with empathy and staff who do not have empathy. I learned about the education and how important it is for the family to continue to be as part of that role. I also learned very quickly how important it was for me to take care of myself, because I couldn't be there for my one-month-old who was in the NICU on large machines keeping him alive if I myself was worn down and sick. I definitely understand that part of the care for yourself first method, but it is definitely a very hard role to take when your little one is suffering.
If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. So
right.
What brought you two girls together?
I'll talk, if that's okay. Actually, I met Tammy through like a health organization networking event. I am a service coordinator in Joliet. I coordinate services for my residents out in the community, and we had just recently lost one of our ambulance services that transported residents to medical appointments. And I was in dire need of finding another service that could help my residents, and I stood up at the networking meeting and asked if there was anybody out there that could help me. And it was Tammy's first meeting at that organization, and she stood up and said, "We just are out in this area looking for business." And she was working for an ambulance company at the time.
Really?
So it was an amazing introduction, and we've really stayed in touch ever since, but never realized how well we worked together until we came together to form Silver Dawn.
It sounds like fate to me.
It was.
All right. So Tammy and Catherine, what inspired you two to do this? And I'm not even sure we explained to the audience what this is. So maybe you can explain that as well.
Absolutely. And I'll go ahead and take this question, because I can kind of tell you the inspiration and maybe kind of explain exactly what we do as Silver Dawn. As you stated in the introduction, I also have a radio show on Blog Talk Radio, and it's called Conversations in Care. And
cool.
I've been doing that. I think it's really cool, and I'm really glad that you think it's cool.
I heard it, and I do think it's really cool. I check out my guests.
Awesome. Thank you. I've been doing the show for about 2.5 years, and what I recently started to do was have some people that actually have dementia on the show.
Wow.
I'm a certified dementia practitioner, and dementia is really the thing that I've always been interested in. I had one gentleman, which prior to him coming on the show, we were doing a Skype interview. We were talking a little bit, and I asked him, I said, you know, Robert, what do you think of the dementia-friendly city concept that's happening in the United Kingdom? We'll kind of talk about that, I think, in a little bit. But he was saying, you know, I think this concept is a great concept where cities really learn and work with, whether it's first responders or businesses, and helping people to understand what dementia is and maybe how to work with someone with dementia. The story that Robert then began to tell me was a story about how he decided, I'm going to go and get myself a burger. So he drives to the fast food restaurant. He's able to walk into the fast food restaurant. He goes up to the counter and he starts to order. He starts to get confused while he's up at the counter. Uh-huh. And then the person behind the counter really couldn't understand what was going on. Things escalated, as they sometimes do with people with different types of dementia. Mm-hmm. And she then ended up calling the cops, and the cops came to the restaurant, and it just escalated way too far than what it needed to. And he said to me, he's like, Tammy, if she just had one little speck of knowledge about dementia, then that whole situation never would have blown up to where it was. Ever since him and I had that conversation, it was something that I kept thinking about. How can we really kind of try to start bringing this to the masses and really kind of looking at all of the cities and how we can really start this common language, whether it's with fire departments, police departments, our medical personnel, and look at how we can become senior friendly. So what we do with Silver Dawn is we go into to cities and we help them to become certified senior friendly cities. And we provide that necessary training, and currently we're in a city currently, and things are going amazingly well. And it's amazing to see people that light bulb go off in thinking and how they change the way they communicate with people, whether it's, you know, just understanding a senior and their basic needs, or someone with dementia and some advanced communication needs that they have as well. Mm. So that's kind of where this all started, was just through that story that he shared with me.
You know, I can so relate, Tammy, because my mother also has dementia for about 3 years now, and it's at the point where she still knows who I am, and when I see her, she takes her a few seconds. Oh, you finally came to see me after a year, you know, and all that stuff. But we have good times and good memories and good laughs and all of that. But I own a gas station also, and the other day, and I should know better, but this is what happened to me. So if it's happening to me, you know it's happening to other people too. We were unloading through the back door some stuff out of my car. This old guy just kind of walks in, and he sits down in my car. He starts going through my glove compartment, starts taking the money, the change that's in there, just doing all this not okay stuff.
Right.
I kind of freaked out a little, and I says, "What are you doing?" You know, and after about 5 minutes, I realized this guy must have dementia. Because, you know, I'm on the highway, and he was driving, and he's, like, trying to find his daughter's house, and said, oh, my gosh, finally, you know, I called the sheriff and tried to help them find her, because this guy had no business driving if he's coming into he thought my car was his daughter's car, and it was just a mess. But, you know, I finally figured it out, but somebody else didn't. Yeah, they would have maybe hit him or knocked him on the ground, called the cops, whatever. So I agree. There needs to be a lot of education on this segment of our community.
Absolutely. I think that's, you know, an amazing story and an amazing example, because I think, you know, luckily for him, you had some background knowledge. Hey, this looks similar to maybe what I'm seeing with my mom. So you were able to kind of put those pieces together very quickly. You know, and I think what we really want to be able to do is we really want to be able to create a common language that everybody's using. And it doesn't have to be a huge, expensive language. We don't need to go to college for this language. We want to lay that foundation and that groundwork for the whole entire city, everyone in it, from lay people to business people that have a Wendy's or a bank or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because as our country ages, we really need to be able to be on the same wavelength and really communicating and working with people that we may find different out in our own backyards.
Sure. You know, politicians are always telling us about the latest group who we have to be politically correct with, you know, and this and that. But, you know, when is the seniors or the Alzheimer's dementia seniors, the ones who are struggling with their handicap, so to speak, are going to get the press that all these other groups are getting? Because that's the best way to educate people, is when it's on the news constantly. Perhaps some of these news stories that the ones that didn't turn very good go on, and then perhaps the commentators can say, yeah, you know, this is pretty common. You know, I recall when police were constantly beating up individuals who were claimed to be mentally ill because, you know, maybe they didn't know the symptoms of a mentally ill person by following commands and this and that. And I think similarly, something has to happen where they report on very similar situations where a person with dementia or Alzheimer's needs to be understood by those asking them to do things and so on. I'm encouraged that you're out there doing it. I don't know anyone else who's doing it, so congratulations and God bless you.
Thank you.
So let me ask you another question. What current age-friendly or dementia-friendly concepts are currently out there?
Dave, this is Kathy. So right now there is the World Health Organization that has some kind of policies and plans that they work with. There are a few cities in the United States that are trying to utilize their policies and procedures. What we are different about in regards to the World Health Organization is we are very attainable to a city. We come in, we get the agreement from the politicians or whoever's in the city that agree this is a great idea, and then we can pretty much implement right away. There are some cities right now in the United States using the World Health Organization. It's taking years for the implementation process to even get off the ground. The other difference with us is that the World Health Organization focuses very much on crisis management and infrastructure, whereas our model is solely a social-based model because even though we're in a city, really what makes a city are human beings. And just off of Tammy's story with the gentleman who went to the fast food restaurant, it's a clear example that the infrastructure was in place. He was able to drive. He was able to get into the fast food restaurant. The ramp, the door, all of that was in place for him. It was the people that failed. It was two systems that are human systems that failed him. And those are the systems that we're looking at to really get into, create, like Tammy said, that common language, that common understanding. And it's not just someone who has dementia. You may have an older adult who has sensory deprivation from either being visually impaired or hearing impaired. And so in our trainings that we do in the cities, we focus on that sensory loss as well. So if someone may appear confused, but that might simply be because they can't hear what you're saying or they can't see the directions that you're giving them. And so it's a dementia piece that we focus on very heavily. But we really also focus on just the aging adult and what they go through so that we can start to change the mind frame that's pretty negative out there in the world. As you said, that negative, that silver tsunami, no one looks forward to a tsunami. No one cheers and says, yeah, bring it on. That verbiage is out in the world right now, and it's very negative. And there is nothing that is good that can come out of negative language except negative behavior. And so our goal is to go into cities, talk to people, educate people, bring to light the contributions of the older adult, talk about sensory loss, have them step into their shoes, and then all of a sudden open up their eyes to having it become more of a opportunity rather than a drain on our society.
Wow, that's awesome. That's a great model. Who came up with that?
We did together.
You make a good team together. Awesome. Let me ask you, what is the significance behind your name, Silver Dawn, D-A-W-N?
Kathy, I think you can.
This one.
Okay. I have a feeling she's going to say that. As I said earlier, you know, that silver tsunami, that's maybe not a term that a lot of people in the general population know, but if you're in healthcare, you've heard it. And it's basically this idea that there's this huge wave of baby boomers that are going to be inundating our society, our culture, in regards to needing, wanting, requiring care. And
see,
this,
I'm sorry to interrupt. I've never heard that term before, so I guess I'm not in
okay.
the know. That's why I'm kind of confused.
Right. Okay. So I work in a long-term care facility, and I've been working in long-term care facilities for about 20 years. And this term has been thrown around for, I would say, a good 5 years, because people are realizing that baby boomers are coming of age, and they are a different type of older adult than your 80 and 90 year old. But because there's such a large amount of them, there's this negative story of this huge tsunami, this wave of this older adult that's going to really drain our resources.
I'm that 61 year old silver tsunami. I didn't even know it. Thanks for informing me.
Yes, you are.
Wow. Wow. I always wanted to be a tsunami.
Congratulations, Dave.
Well, if it weren't for you, we wouldn't be here today. So that's okay. We're good with that.
You two are too young to be seniors, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Just checking. So I'm sorry I interrupted. Keep going.
No, that's okay. So the Silver Dawn idea is that we wanted to encapsulate the idea of a silver, you know, that there's an aging adult in this idea, this concept, but that it's a dawn. It's a dawning of a new day. It's an opportunity, not a negative, not a drain. So that's really where our name came from, is trying to turn the idea of a silver tsunami on its ear.
Awesome. Well, I feel so much smarter now. Thank you for that information. Or actually, I feel so dumb. But why is a senior-friendly city important? That's a good question, huh?
It is a good question. It definitely is a good question. And, you know, I think there's many different reasons why a senior-friendly city is important. You know, and I think a couple things come to mind. Not only when we look at the concept of a senior-friendly, not only do we look at our first responders who really need to have some understanding and working knowledge when they go to the scene, whether it's an accident or they're called to someone's home, but also looking at how we can really start to develop this language early. So we really bring into it an intergenerational concept. So what we're teaching to some extent is also going to be brought to the school, so children can start to have this knowledge and understanding and can really start to, everyone having the common language of how can we work with our seniors? How can we really make life for them a little bit better? Additionally, one of the other things that we're going to be doing is working with the recreational departments within the city and looking at different things, kind of pushing aside that bingo, Bible, and birthdays concept of activity, and maybe looking at, is there some sort of volunteerism, you know, some transformational things that seniors want to do as volunteers within the city? Is it something that they can, you know, work with children in reading? Is it something that they can do, you know, city-wise that can really give them a sense of purpose? So those are some of the quick reasons. And I think additionally, because, you know, one of the things that we're also looking at is that as our seniors age, we know that there is going to be a lot of seniors that are going to be aging in place, and they're going to be in their own home. And I think one of the things that we want to be able to do is by giving this common language, giving a foundation and a base within each city of, hey, we saw Mr. Smith walking down the street. We know he shouldn't be here. We're going to call his daughter, who may not be with him right now. So really kind of giving a bridge to the caregivers of having a whole village that is really able to help with that caregiving piece in some small but significant ways.
Oh, keyword, village. I know where that came from.
Very much so. I mean, I think it's a concept that we have some great ideas, and we really hope that, you know, cities will start to take on these concepts, because we think it's something that, you know, like you said, caregivers need to take that break. They need to be able to care for themselves, you know, and if there's something, if you know that there's a bunch of people in that city looking out for your father because maybe you just turned your head for 5 seconds and he took off down the street, you know, that can make your life as a caregiver a little bit easier.
Yeah. Now, you brought up a good point, the first responders. In that example you gave earlier about the Wendy's or whatever it was, how did the first responders, how did the police respond when you said it escalated? Did they know anything, or were the police about as clueless as the cashier was?
Unfortunately, the police were just as clueless as the cash register person. And I think that's one of the things that we have found really exciting, especially in the first city that we're in. We've had all the firemen. There was no firewomen in this team. It was all firemen. It was easy for us, honestly, let me tell you. But I think one of the things that was refreshing for us is that they sat there, they took in the knowledge, and you could tell that a switch had been flipped in their thinking and their thought process. Because no one had really taken the time to explain to them what dementia is, how should I change the way I talk to them, and they started to learn just a couple of simple phrases that will help them as they're working with someone. And I think even just things such as, because we do a lot of sensitivity training, just even understanding, you know, what the vision is like, because Kathy does this great one where we have them put on glasses and it's mimicking macular degeneration. So basically all they have is that peripheral vision.
Right.
And then she has this blank check, you know, because our seniors still write checks. And it's amazing to watch them trying to write on the line of the checks, and they're not able to do it. Just that simple thing, they take off the glasses, they see it, and they're like, oh, my God, you know, that's what's happening. That's what they're seeing. So it's amazing that they're able to see this and take it with them.
All right, so obviously your plan, your model includes training police officers, firemen, and all first responders.
Yes, it does. And
excellent idea.
Yeah, you know what? The other thing is we would really like to be able to have our medical facilities be a part of this as well, because we know that sometimes it's difficult for them to get this training too.
Well, they're supposed to know, but unfortunately a lot of them, from my experience, don't have a clue either. You know, maybe they were just hired, maybe they didn't take the sensitivity training or something, I don't know.
No, I think you're unfortunately correct, and that's what is really disheartening for us, because those are the people that many of our seniors, many of family members, they turn to those professionals in the medical facilities, but they sometimes just are as clueless as anybody else that doesn't have that education. You know, if we can bring that education to them and really help them in working with seniors as they come in their doors, I think that's a really positive thing. So we really want to be able to try to get to all those groups. And what's been really exciting, too, within the city that we're working with, a couple of the aldermen from the city have gone through the training, and that's been really great to see that they're wanting to be involved in the city, and now they have that education that they can take out to others as well.
Great. Well, you girls are doing a fantastic job communicating your vision and your mission and your model to us. I can't believe how fast time is going. We've already reached the halftime, so we're going to take a short break, and we will be right back. Don't go away. One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships. Available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Hear what Lynn Barrington, best-selling author of Daddies and Daughters, published by Simon & Schuster, has to say about it. You think you have it bad? Read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy and Dove Award winner, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch? This book will be an encouragement to anyone who reads it. Charlene just won't let the promises of God go. She's hanging on to her positive godly attitude, and I look forward to that day when she will receive all that she's believing that God will do for her. In the meantime, she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. Her smile has gotten just as big as it was before her stroke. She's not just a survivor. She's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. And I'm glad to know her and her testimony. Read this book. You'll be encouraged regardless of what you're going through. So get your copy of One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships today on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. But if you purchase it on the author's website, Dave and Charlene Nassani will personally autograph your copy. Just go to onearmoneleg100words.com. That's onearmoneleg100words.com. Oh, and while you're on his website, don't forget to take our short quiz to help you assess if you are a candidate for burnout, and if so, where you are in the burnout process. And just for doing that, Dave will send you a special gift. There are a lot of resources, videos, and links to his radio podcast on his website. Go to caregiverscaregiver.com. That's caregiverscaregiver.com. And now, let's rejoin Dave Nassani and his guest on Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver program on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. And we're back with a wonderful show. You want to know who I'm talking to, don't you? Well, I'm talking to Tammy and Kathy. Tell them who you are. I think it's best that it comes from the horse's mouth, don't you?
Of course, and Kathy's pointing to me, so I must be the horse's mouth.
Wow.
So, okay. we're Silver Dawn, Senior Friendly Cities, and we work with cities to help them to become senior friendly.
When I first saw your email that said Silver Dawn, this old song came into my head, and I haven't been able to get rid of it since. It's like a week. Delta Dawn.
Oh, Delta, my gosh. I knew you were going to say that.
You did.
What's that flower you've got on? No.
Can't get it out of your head either, huh? All right. So what is my next question for you guys? Let me ask you, what makes you different than what, and I think you touched on this a tiny bit, but you can go on a little more. What makes you different than what the World Health Organization, WHO, and Dementia Friendly, the United Kingdom, have developed? First of all, I didn't know that the United Kingdom was dementia friendly. Are they more than us?
From what I understand, they have cities that are dementia friendly. And from what I understand, again, they focus more on the infrastructure and crisis management, but do the majority of their education and their implementations in the city based solely on dementia. That's what differentiates us from them, is that we focus on dementia. That's a large portion of what we do, but we also focus on the aging adult as a whole. So we focus on all the senses, sensory loss, understanding their contributions, and how to really help them reengage with society and be a part of an intergenerational neighborhood and community. In regards to the World Health Organization, as I said before, how we differ is, number one, we can get into a city and help give them that certification and that training and get people on the ground running right away with really useful, attainable skills and techniques from the get-go. We started our company in March of this year. We started in our first city end of April, and we plan to be completing that city with their certification by mid-September. So we're attainable in that we can turn things around rather quickly. We help set up all the trainings. We don't focus on the infrastructure. We focus on the social model and the people within the city to create a sense of education and understanding and truly focus on empathy.
And what's the first city you're doing this with?
We are in the city of Blue Island, Illinois.
Oh, and that's why I'm posting a picture of you two and the mayor of Blue Island, Illinois. So
exactly.
he's a cool guy listening to you and sees the value of all of this, and maybe he can call some of his mayor buddies and promote you to other cities, right?
Well, that's definitely our goal. We actually have a second city that's in the works right now. We're meeting with them at the end of this week, and that is our goal, is to get people to recognize just how fantastic our training is, how attainable it is for a city, and how important it is for a city to get this, because this really does bring notoriety to them in regards to how progressive they are in addressing the issues before they become a problem.
Yeah, this would be a great thing for L.A. County Board of Supervisors, and I'd be happy to put a plug in for you there, because my supervisor, Mike Antonovich, is a really good guy, and he's always senior friendly, et cetera. So I think I'm going to write him a letter. Maybe you can give
me
a kit or something.
We would be very happy.
Yes, we're always looking for best friends in new places that can just, it's sometimes it's who you know and then who they know. So that would be fantastic.
And L.A. is a huge city to be your third or whatever. So are you at liberty to say what the second one is or not yet?
Are we, Tammy?
You'd have to kill me?
We can't yet.
Okay. Still a secret. I don't want to die.
Okay. Yes, our information is very top secret.
So tell me more about Blue, what is it, Blue what? The city?
Blue Island.
Blue Island. That's an unusual name for a city. Do they have an island in the middle of it?
They do not.
Well, I wonder how they got that.
So what would you like to know about Blue Island?
Just tell me everything about Blue Island, about why they are interested and what scope. How big is this going to be? And how big is Blue Island? How many people live there? I'm just curious.
Oh, Blue Island. Is that 60,000 people?
Okay.
I'm taking a guess there. Okay, I'm trying to take a guess there. I'm trying to remember all of our statistics. What I do know for sure is Blue Island has one of the largest senior population per capita of all cities in Illinois. Yes, we just found that out ourselves.
Is it a retirement spot, you know, like where people go when they retire?
Not necessarily. Blue Island started off as being very, it has its heritage in the Polish neighborhood. And it has changed over the years. It's changed, but there's still a very strong line of Polish heritage. People moved to Blue Island who came over from Ellis Island and have stayed there. So there's a long heritage of people that have lived there all their lives. The Alderman Carr, there's an image of us with her as well. She is an original resident of Blue Island. Interestingly enough, and I'm going to just throw this out there, I'm probably going to get in tons of trouble for it, but Gary Sinise was born in Blue Island, and so he has a huge following regarding the veterans and really getting the word out for them. So it's a small town, and then there have been quite a few people that are actually pretty famous from Blue Island that have moved into Chicago and done art and comedy and then moved on elsewhere, but it's a very small tight community in regards to if you were to drive around. It has a very small town feel. It has the nice little clock tower in the corner and your little shop. And from the experience that I've had so far, I've been very happy with it. They did an open streets of Blue Island to promote shopping locally. We were part of that. And it was really nice to see a lot of the residents out and about walking through the streets. And it's got the cobblestone underneath the blacktop. And in some of the places, you can still see the old cobblestone. So it's a much older city. It's very, very quaint and very nice.
So it's like Mayberry, USA of the Andy Griffith Show. But it's not an island, right? Not an island?
Not an island.
Not an island. Okay. So I could just see somebody going to Blue Island thinking it's going to be an island, and then they're disappointed. Say, where's the island? but that's just me. Okay, what is in the works for traditional businesses? That's a good question.
Well, I think that's a great question. And one of the things that we really set out to do in regards to senior-friendly cities is really to look at some of the traditional businesses as well. We, with the story that I told earlier in regards to one of my guests on my show that talked about his experience at the restaurant, it was really important to us to be able to include traditional businesses. Now, the type of training that we can provide for them is definitely shorter and is really focusing on some things such as really kind of spotting people with dementia and having some common language and how to communicate with someone with dementia, and also just understanding the senior and their buying habits versus someone that's younger, because they definitely shop and buy in a very particular way, and kind of helping them to understand that. And I think the more people that we have within the city that can have this common language, the better. And I think what then helps, you know, whether it's a restaurant or a bank or a shop, the more seniors that they can attract within that business, the more likely they're going to buy and become buyers of them or customers of theirs for a long period of time. So we really have a couple of things that are in place. We're working with a couple of businesses in Michigan and also one in Illinois as well.
And part of that training will be online training, and part of that training will be in-person training.
I would like to be your next business that you send a kit to share with my people, my meager 8 employees, because since we've already had something happening with the dementia person I told you about, that would be very educational and informative, don't you think?
It would absolutely be a pleasure to do that for you.
Cool. So, Tammy and Kathy, tell us about your backgrounds. And you can go in depth if you want.
Absolutely. This is Tammy, and my background, I've worked over 20 years within the long-term care industry. Anywhere I've worked in nursing homes, licensed home for the aged, assisted living, memory care. I've also volunteered in hospice, and I've also worked for an ambulance company as well. I'm a certified dementia practitioner. I'm also certified in the virtual dementia tour training. I have my absolutely favorite thing to do in the world is my show, Conversations in Care.
Cool. And Kathy, tell us about your background.
I have a bachelor's in psychology, and I've completed all my coursework for a master's in health psychology. Mm-hmm. I'm currently a service coordinator. I work with the senior population in Illinois. For those who don't know, I work in a supportive living facility, which is like a bridge between living at home and living in a nursing home. So my job is really very concierge-ish in that I really facilitate all of the services that they are going to require to help them maintain living as independent for as long as possible. I'm also a certified mental health first responder. I have run and managed dementia units for about 10 years. I'm a support group facilitator and instructor, and that comes into play with Silver Dawn as well, because one of the other components we're going to be doing with the cities is helping them implement support groups. Mm-hmm. We are going to be helping them implement a first support group, which is general, and then after 6 months, we're going to go in and reassess the needs of the city and implement a second support group based on the needs, whether it's a higher incidence of early onset dementia, whether it's a support group solely for the well spouse. Our goal is to help teach those in the recreational department or those within the hospital setting on how to facilitate a support group and then get those off the ground. I'm vice president of the Three Rivers Continuity of Care, and I've also been adjunct faculty at a couple of junior colleges teaching a course called Dealing with Dementia.
You do all of that? That's like 12, 15 things. And you're a caregiver?
And I have 3 children, yes, and a husband.
And you're an overachiever. Okay. You're both kind of overachievers. I don't know. I don't know how you do that. I mean, you make us normal people look like whiners and complainers. I always say that about my wife.
Yeah, I can't keep up with her, so.
Wow. Well, no wonder she doesn't have a radio show. She has no time. So I assume you've had her as a guest on your show.
I have. Before we started the company, before we started Silver Dawn, she came on the show. And she talked a lot about sensitivity training. And one of the great things that she talked about in regards to sensitivity training was how you can really find some really great things to do with your family at home to understand vision, to understand hearing loss, to understand all of those things. There's some really great things you can do at home with your kids. It can end up being fun, but then they can understand why grandma or grandpa is acting in a certain way. And then she's also done some really fabulous research in regards to books and also apps on your phone, your iPad, any tablet that you can go to that you might be able to interact a little bit easier with your loved one with dementia and start reminiscing that way. So it's a great bridge for kids and seniors.
Now, I see a book somewhere. You guys need a book, no?
Yes,
when are you
we
writing,
do.
When are you writing this book?
That's going to be while we're sleeping.
You know, I will send you something because I'm on my third book, and I took this course, How to Write a Book in 30 Days, because a book doesn't have to be a lifetime commitment. I wrote my first book in 30 days, edited it in another 30 days, so it was out in 60 days, and the same thing with my second book. So if you guys need help, just let me know, and I'll pass you on to this system, okay?
That would be
one of you. one of you has to write a book. The other one can be the ghostwriter or something. I don't know. But yeah, no, you've got a lot
there
to share. And a book is a great way to legitimize and just, you know, say, here, read the book. It's in the book. You know, if you don't have time to explain it, give them the 1 hour version. We're coming up to the end of our show. What takeaway can you give to my caregiver audience who happens to all be burned out before we close?
Let me jump in on this for a second. As Tammy was saying, with sensitivity training, you know, you can do it for the whole family. I think that burnout happens when we take it all on for ourselves. And that kind of comes from the phrase of the sandwich generation, which I know in a way we've all been a part of that. We've all had parents that are aging and taking care of our own children at the same time. But it seems to be a topic of conversation that's coming up more and more. And when I envision the caregiver sandwich or the sandwich generation, to me it's something where we're keeping our aging adults away from our younger population, and we're doing them both a disservice and we're doing ourselves a disservice as the caregiver, because we're not encouraging each group to help and interact with each other, and we're taking all the work on for ourselves. So I think an intergenerational approach is really a key way to battle that burnout and that caregiver stress. And where that has to come into is doing mini sensitivity training at home with family, where you are all creating that common language, that common understanding, but you're doing it in a way where it's fun, it's approachable, and then you just process after the fact so that everyone does get a really clear understanding of why grandpa can't change the channels on the remote or grandma continues to refold the laundry. No one person has to take all that on, and it's not necessary. And if there's the proper training, and if empathy is encouraged early on in life, that's when empathy grows and becomes part of someone's personality. It's fostered early on in the home. And so if we start to approach that at the home level, we're going to do ourselves a service by enhancing that empathy and encouraging them to be helpful as caregivers with us. So you can interact, so a child can interact with grandma or grandpa for 10 minutes so mom can go and do something else, or so dad gets a break for a second. We can teach people how to do this, and there's tools out there, and it's just knowing how to access them, and it's not difficult. And when I talk about sensitivity training, and when we do it, we don't go in and use a kit that is thousands of dollars. We create a kit, we create our own kit, and we show people in the trainings how and what we've put together, because we're not trying to keep a secret from anyone. This needs to pass on. And so if a firefighter finds the vision station or the hearing station really impactful and finds a way where that would fit into his family and help his family understand something, he can take that home with him. He can very easily pull objects that he has from his garage or his toolbox, and with our guidance a little bit, put something like that together in his own home with his own children. So it is attainable. It doesn't have to be a $3,000 kit that only a hospital can afford to purchase. Everyone has access to this.
Awesome. So how can people get a hold of you girls?
It's pretty easy. They can go to our website, which is www.silverdawnsfc.com. And from there, you can contact us. You can send us an email. You'll also find our phone number there as well. So if you have any questions or would like some help getting your city started as a senior-friendly city, we'd be happy to help you.
Awesome. And what were the last three letters of that website again? Silver Dawn what?
It's S as in Sam, F as in Frank, and C as in Cat. We are also on social media. I almost forgot this. We are on Facebook. So if you can find us through our website, and you can then like us on Facebook or even follow us on Twitter. And it's all Silver Dawn SFC.
What does the SFC stand for?
Senior friendly city.
Do it again together now.
Senior friendly cities.
Okay, you got to work on that.
Yeah, we
Catherine
do.
Catherine and Tammy, thank you again for allowing me to interview you. It's been a lot of fun. And thank you to my listening audience for tuning in today and every Wednesday live at noon Pacific Standard Time. And don't forget that all of our shows are recorded podcasts, including this one, so you can listen to the same link any time of the day or night, 24/7. They're also on our website, caregiverscaregiver.com. You can get to iTunes from the website's radio show tab as well. Just a reminder, when you're on our site, please don't forget to take the quiz, Are You a Candidate for Burnout?, so that you can assess where you are in the burnout process and get your free copy of my book. So until next week, may God richly bless you. Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time and anytime afterwards on podcast to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process right here on the Worldwide Block Talk Radio Network. Goodbye.